Long Talk Radio.
Welcome to DeMaio's Deliverance Ministries, a study in the Word. I am Seer Pastor Siobhan Simmons, and today we will discuss the spirit of fear. But before we get started in the Word, let's just take a moment to say a quick word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for allowing us to study your most precious and holy word on today. Your word that brings life, your word that brings truth, your word that sets us free from bondage. As we go line upon line today, Lord, we ask that you give us the knowledge, your wisdom, your understanding, and clarity in the word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The spirit of fear. 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 7, tells us, "For God has not given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God came and freed us so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. If you are in bondage because of the spirit of fear, I pray that this discussion, this Bible teaching, will free you. Proverbs, the 11th chapter, the 9th verse, tells us that through knowledge shall the just be delivered. And on today, I want you to be delivered from whatever your fear may be. Now, it says the spirit of fear, and we know that a spirit is a supernatural being. It's something that we don't see with our natural eyes. And fear is just to be afraid. You have fear because something suddenly may come upon you. You're anticipating the unknown, and so you get a little disturbed in your spirit. And I heard this acronym several years ago for fear, and it says, fear is false evidence appearing real. And I wish I could remember where I heard it to give that person credit for it. And truly, the spirit of fear comes to make us think that it's something that's just so terrible and we just can't deal with it. Now, you may have the fear of being rejected, or you may be fearful of failing. And when you have the spirit of fear and failing, then guess what? It will be hard for you to try to do something new. You always stay in the same rut. You may have a fear of heights. You may have a fear of taking a boat ride or flying an airplane, but somewhere in your life, you have come across the spirit of fear. Fear is really faith in reverse. Because remember, faith is something that we can't see. And fear, even though we can't see it, we still act upon it. We make that fear so big in our lives. Fear will bring on other symptoms. For example, anxiety. If you have a fear of flying, and you know in order to get to your next destination in the quickest time you will have to get in the airplane. Well, guess what? That fear, that spirit of fear has clutched you, and now you've got anxiety. You start thinking, well, what if the plane crashes, or what if we get hijacked, or what if I get on the wrong flight, or what if I miss my plane? And see, the enemy has put all these thoughts in your mind, and you're acting upon it, and you're just blowing everything out of proportion, because really all you have to do is go to the airport, trust God, pray, ask God to give you safe passage to your destination, and believing that God will do what you have asked him to do, and you would not go through all of that anxiety. Fear will also bring on stress, because in that situation, you're stressing about all the things that could happen. Negative, I should say. You didn't think about anything good. You didn't think about going on that airplane thinking, well, God is opening this door so that I could get on the airplane and perhaps witness to someone, or allow my light to shine so that somebody could be drawn unto God. Maybe somebody's having a bad day, and just my smile, I don't even have to say a word, my smile will change their day. It will brighten their day. So when fear is in the picture, we never think of the positives. We always think of the negatives. Fear will make you ache. You will have pain. You'll have physical pain. You'll have mental pain. The spirit of fear is a mess. It will mess you up. We should have the fear of the Lord. If we're going to have any fear, let us fear God. Let us fear the one who can destroy both our body and our soul. Now, I want you to turn with me to, 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. Turn with me to 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. Now, we're going to talk about Elijah. Elijah was a prophet of God. He was a true prophet, and God used him mightily in performing numerous miracles. Oh, my God. Elijah did what we would think to be the unthinkable. Elijah, he declared a drought. He prayed for a drought, and guess what? There was a drought. He is known for his boldness. He was a bold soldier for the Lord, and people knew him by his fruit. You know, we're either going to have bad fruit or we're going to have good fruit, and he produced good fruit. He trusted God. He believed everything that God said. And in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, we see Elijah thinking that he is the only prophet that's alive. He destroys 450 prophets of Baal, according to God's instructions. And if you go down to the 42nd verse, after he's done that miraculous task, he tells Ahab, if you go down to 40, we're in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, verse 42, he says, so Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees. Now, previously, he had prayed to God that there would be no rain in the land, and guess what? There was no rain. And so now God has given him his instructions, and God told him, I want you to pray for rain. And so in verse 43, it says, and he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. He said, go again 7 times, because Elijah believed the word of the Lord. And he knew that God was going to send the rain, so he had his servant to go and check. And verse 44, it says, and it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare that chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. In verse 45, it says, and it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Now look at this. Elijah prayed for rain. Now, so far he's destroyed 450 prophets of Baal. He's prayed for rain. And the rain is coming. And if you look at verse 46, it says, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Can you imagine? He outran a chariot. So where am I going with this? Well, it takes us to 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, verses 1 through 18. Here we're going to see fear overtaking Elijah. Fear can get anyone. And remember, we're talking about a spirit. The thing is, you don't have to stay in bondage to that spirit of fear. And it says that in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, starting at verse number 1, it says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. In verse 2, it says, then Jezebel sent a messenger, to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of the one of them by tomorrow about this time. Excuse me. So now we see Elijah has got word from Jezebel what is about to come. Amen. If we go down to verse number 3, it says, and he saw, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Now let's look how suddenly the spirit of fear came upon him. He had just gotten through praying for rain, outran the chariot, the rain came, outran the chariot, with instructions of the Lord, destroyed the 450 prophets of Baal. And here is a message that was sent to him from Jezebel, who is the wife of Ahab. And she tells him, she says, look, the gods will get you for what you've done, and even me, I'm going to get you. Let me tell you one thing, just paraphrasing. She says, this time tomorrow, you're going to be dead, just like the prophets. And so fear gripped him. If we go down to verse number 4, 1 Kings 19 and 4, it says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my father. He allowed fear to just put false evidence in his mind, and he said, look, I'm giving up. This is just too much. Just go ahead and let me die. And verse 5, it says, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Don't you know God have your back? Suddenly this angel came. Elijah was not expecting the angel. He was just ready to just call it quits. In verse 6, it says, and he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. God provided for him. God gave him the provision. The angel came back and had food and water for him, and he ate, and he went back to sleep. And now in verse 7 it says, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of meat 40 days and 40 nights into Horeb, the mount of God. So now God has given him more instructions, just like he did before. Now if we go to verse 9, it says, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what dost thou here, Elijah? So God is asking him, Elijah, what are you doing here? Verse 10. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12 of 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still, small voice. In verse 13, and it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entry in of the cave, entering of, in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what dost thou hear, Elijah? And God gives him more instructions. But I want you to look at how the spirit of fear made him, made his situations appear so fast. If we go back, it says that Jezebel said that, look, I'm going to get you. Oh, yes, I am. What you did to my prophets, guess what? I'm going to do it. And then she says, the gods will get you for this, and I'll get even with you. The gods were the things they were worshiping, and we know we serve the true and living God, capital G. There is no S at the end. And Jezebel was talking about a god. She said gods with the S that they made by hand, things that God, our Heavenly Father, made. But Jezebel says, but I'm going to get you. And so the spirit of fear made Elijah in his mind think a whole lot of things, a whole lot of people are coming behind me, and that was not so. And as you continue to read on, we'll see that God gives comfort to Elijah. If we go on to, and I'll just let you read that on your time, just read up until the 18th verse. But we need to realize that God is with us always. We need to be reminded that God is greater than the devil. God created Lucifer. If we go to Ezekiel 28, 12 through 19, it tells us that's our evidence that God created Lucifer. Lucifer, Satan, the devil, whatever terminology you want to give him. Remember that he is the father of lies. He is a deceiver. Amen. God promises to never leave us nor forsake us. And you can find that evidence in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse number 5. He said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And his word is truth. Fear is just a lie. Remember, the enemy comes as a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. And I love when you go line upon line reading the word and studying the word of God. It says he comes as a roaring lion. As means it's like an appearance. He comes falsely because he's really not a roaring lion. He speaks loud. He makes a lot of noise. And when the dust settles, guess what? There is nothing there. The dust always makes it look a lot worse than what it is. So we know that the enemy is just pretending. There is nothing real with him. Fear should never control us. We should control that spirit of fear. And how can we do that? Speak the word. And I can tell you, I used to be fearful of flying. I used to be fearful of taking boat trips, and I just had to speak the word. And the word of God tells me that he would never leave me nor forsake me. He tells me that 1 Timothy, our opening scripture, 2 Timothy, the first chapter, the seventh verse, it says, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Also, in Psalms, the 27th chapter, Psalm 27, verse number 1, Psalm 27, verse number 1, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? God will strengthen me in my weak time, in my weak hour, in my weak moments. Guess what? All I need to do is call on God and say, Lord, give me strength, and he will give me strength. He is there with us always. Don't you know that God is greater? He is so great. He is so vast. He sees everything. He knows everything. Nothing catches him by surprise. Greater is he that is within me than he that is in this world. Speak the word. Joshua, the first chapter, the 9th verse, tells us to be strong and of good courage, and of a good courage. Be strong. Don't be a weakling. Don't walk with your head hung down when fear comes your way. Speak the word. Be strong and of a good courage. Why? God has your back. He dwells within you. And if he's in you, you've got power. If he's got your back, come on. All you have to do is continue to go forward in the things that God is telling us to do. If he tells you, I want you to go fly, go on that airplane, and that spirit of fear comes, remember, God has my back. God has given me not the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Perfect love casts out all fear. Glory be to God. So Joshua, the first chapter, the ninth verse, tells us to be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Don't be afraid, known. Don't even be dismayed by what you see with your natural eyes. For the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. Wherever you go, God is with you. So I am here to tell you to gird up your loins, for if God be for you, who cares who's against you? There is more for you than there is against you. Remember when Satan and his cohorts were kicked out of heaven, it said that Satan and a third of the angels left. So that means there's two-thirds still with us. You do the math. Two-thirds is greater than one-third. Amen. God can do exceedingly and abundantly more than you can ask, more than you can imagine. Gird up your loins, be of good courage, knowing that God is with you. I hope this teaching, this discussion has really blessed you. It has blessed me. It has encouraged me. I thank you for connecting with us today. If you desire prayer, you can give us a call at area code 843-830-9325. Again, the number is 843-830-9325. Or if you would like to email us, you can at searsimmons@hotmail.com. That is Sear, S-E-E-R, Simmons, S-I-M-M-O-N-S, all one word, searsimmons@hotmail.com. Or if you desire to visit with us on a Sunday morning or at one of our Bible studies, we are located at 284 President Street. We have services Sunday morning starting at 9:30. It's Sunday school. And then we have a worship service at 10, a Bible study on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., God bless you. Be encouraged, knowing that all power belongs to God. If God be for you, who can be against you? For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Know that God's peace rests upon you. God loves you unconditionally in the state that you are in. Let his word cleanse you. Let his word heal you. Let his word deliver you. And if you want comfort in the word, read Psalms 91 in its entirety. God bless you. May heaven continue to smile upon you. Thank you.
can I find in the peace that falls to ashes?